There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5. We've arrived at Friday in the Friday edition of Midday Mobile. Glad to have y'all along. John Sharp from AL.com joins me later this hour. Also, Eagle Scout John Shell joins me in hour number two for an update here on that Eagle Reef project, his Eagle project, which I was always said, you know, I thought the only thing we could do for Eagle projects back in the day is like build something at a playground or a park benches or something like that. He went to the next level and has gotten the attention of some bigger players out there. We'll talk about that in hour number two. And a constitutional quiz coming up today. Your chance to win fantastic logoed FM Talk 106.5 goodies and get in the running for the monthly drawing for $100 all from LNS Air. So that's all on the way today on Midday Mobile. I want to start off here. Let's start off here because I know you think I'd go straight to the Trump thing. Trump in town tonight. We'll get there. We'll get there. And then the questions here of the indictment, and like we talked about on the morning show today, you know, what kind of scenarios can we lay out going into the general in 2024, and where you would have, we'll get to it. We'll back to the Donald Trump talk here in just a little bit. But first, story from Yellowhammer News, update and something we mentioned just briefly yesterday, that as of Tuesday of this week, it says the safety concern of loitering on public roadways in Alabama will receive new attention from law enforcement. It says particularly if that person's interacting with motorists. Certain types of loitering are already a criminal offense in the state of Alabama, such as soliciting and gambling. Now, soliciting, is that like prostitution or like just? Okay, it says punishable as a Class C misdemeanor. The law went into effect this week, adds loitering on a public roadway or a right-of-way to the list. Should I just open up the windows here at the station so the people that are loitering out there by our station could hear this? The law reads this way. It says, no person shall stand on a highway for the purpose of soliciting employment, business, or contributions from the occupant of any vehicle, nor for the purpose of distributing any article. End quote. Last year, Alabama authorities investigated nearly 800 crashes involving pedestrians, 125 of which were fatal. State legislators say the new law will protect drivers and pedestrians. Representative Ingram out of Montgomery said this bill is just where police officers gives them the option to leave or they can take them somewhere to get them some help. And if they don't do either one, then it's overnight in jail. End quote. The law includes a specific provision for police officers to work with the violator to get them help if accepted. However, those who continue to pose a safety hazard to themselves and motorists could face jail time starting on the first violation. All right, so just look around here for a second. So, and by the way, do you have to be on foot? Are you a pedestrian? Because the electric mobility scooter gangs are back. You know, a couple of years ago, there were a lot of them, and one of them ended up getting killed, right? Riding the electric mobility scooters on the, that was on Azalea, but I would see them a lot on airport and the service road. But it says pedestrians. So let's go back to the beginning of this. Because when you, and I get what the idea of this law is. I've asked this many times. If somebody is panhandling, and don't get ready to get upset because you've done this to raise money for a softball team or something like that. But if somebody is at the corner of whatever street, and when everybody comes to a stop there at the red light, they come out and they're hustling you for money, you know, for whatever. Then people will say, well, that should be against the law. They shouldn't do it. But if the volunteer fire department, if the kids, whatever athletic team is there, you know, at 188 and Laurentine or whatever, and you're, Aren't they doing the same thing? Does it matter where the money goes to? Because it gives here in this law, it said the authorities have the option to leave or take them somewhere to get some help. But are they going to do that for somebody who's raising money for, you know, whatever? Are they going to make a judgment? It's not the behavior, but it's the person doing it. Are you loitering? Are you there trying to raise money for a whatever athletic team? Or are you standing there in a trance, kind of like we were talking about, or they were on the people on the trank, right? Which is where they get fentanyl and then something else. It's like brake fluid or whatever they get to make it better. And they're standing there like zombies, like Dora the Explorer, when she would ask you to pick out whatever the thing is from the backpack and she would sit there looking at you too long. That kind of, that vacant stare. I think Dora might have been, Dora might have been on Trank before Trank was a thing. But does it matter if it's a person standing there zombied out or like asking to wash your windshield, probably with saliva? Or is it that person, okay, that's wrong, we send them on. But then the person who has got a boot there they're trying to fill, that's okay. I mean, this is, I understand what they're wanting to do with this law. At the same time, then what is it going to, who's going to make a decision on, it says you can't be on the public roadways. Once again, it's additional to other, to certain types of loitering are already a criminal offense in the state, such as soliciting and gambling, punishable by a Class C misdemeanor. The law that went into effect this week adds loitering on a public roadway or right of way to that list. So people migrating up and down the roadways of Mobile and Baldwin County, you know, if they're loitering, or the people here close to the station at Airport and 65 that play a game of human frogger, sashaying, moseying across Airport Boulevard, strolling down the service road. So they're in violation. I don't know if they got this. I don't know if those people, the urban outdoorsmen here around the station, if they have gotten an update on this story to know there's a Class C misdemeanor. How they're going to pay the fine, who knows. But yeah, what does this mean? We put a law in like this, and you're like, okay, that makes sense. It's going to keep those people from hustling me at a stoplight. But what? So if the action, it says, being on the public roadway or right-of-way is the violation, then when little Sally and the girls' softball team is trying to raise money down there, you're going to have the cops just grab them. I don't know that they would cuff them, but tell them they got to go. How do you navigate this? All right, so that's just, to me, that's the biggest breaking news story of the day. But then again, I see things differently than most. Trump in Alabama, that's happening, of course, tonight, already in process there with security. And, of course, the first place to, did he talk after? Well, he spoke briefly after leaving that courtroom in Washington. But this is the first time he has the stage, literally and figuratively, since yesterday. So that's going to be a lot of eyes on Alabama, a lot of eyes on that event tonight. And it's a it's Alabama GOP, so it's their club, right? It's Alabama GOP convention, but Trump's speaking at it. And then the six Republican members of the seven of our federal House delegation will be there. They've all endorsed Donald Trump. What would you do? What would you not endorse Donald Trump at this point? It's not as simple as before, right? If you say, okay, well, Donald Trump could win. Well, but what if he ends up not, you know, through hook or by crook, not being able to be a viable candidate in this next year's general election? But you're on the record for endorsing this person. But that's going on tonight. I don't know. Jeff said they had to be there 3 hours before, so we'll probably start getting some more reports in here from Jeff and others up there probably the next few hours. So, yeah, Trump event tonight in Montgomery, and we'll hear as much as he can say. You know, the judge's orders he can't talk about, which is going to be tough for Trump. He can't talk about certain things that are in these cases, these court cases. He's not allowed to speak on them. And, of course, there's an irony if you have what you consider a First Amendment case and you can't speak about the First Amendment case, but that's the deal. What happened with the... Okay, yeah, so we'll also keep our eyes on this, and we'll come back to it. We'll come back to the story we mentioned yesterday and this morning with EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, coming in. And now, is it specific? Does it end up dealing with Barry Steam Plant? Yes, it does. But the actual mechanism that was announced yesterday, it's like a supremacy clause, right? The EPA, the Federal Environmental Protection Agency, telling the Alabama Department of Environmental Management, you got to redraw this deal that you told Alabama Power they could do. I tell you what, we'll visit this story when we come back. Phone number and the text line, 343-0106. This is Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right now, 12:20, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile on this Friday. Glad to have you along. Want y'all to say hello to my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars, and always talk about a great selection of vehicles there. And low down payment vehicles, are those are part of the selection too.
They are, and we've got a bunch of them right now. We've got little Jeep four wheel drive Cherokee Sport. It's this one flat toes too. You can pull it behind a camper if you want to. Chevrolet Equinoxes, Toyota Camrys, got Malibus. We've got a Toyota Corolla. We got a Lexus ES. We got a Mustang, real nice Mustang, Cadillac SRX, and a little Buick Encore. Plus, we got a couple of trucks, believe it or not, that you can get in with, you know, $5,000 to $1,000 down with approved credit and a decent payment.
All right. Well, tell folks how to come check out those vehicles and all the selection at LCM.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10 exit 15A. Give us a call at 251-375-0068. Go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. We're here till 6 tonight. We're here till 2 tomorrow.
David, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a good weekend, buddy.
Hey, you too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Before we get to the coal ash story here, we want to say, you know, along with the story came up because what the city's doing today, said from 1819 News, Mobile Mayor Sandy Stimson said he hopes U.S. Coast Guard members know the city supports them as National Coast Guard Day happens today on August 4th. It said Mobile was designated as a Coast Guard city on July 2nd of 2004. The designation came because of the city's special efforts to acknowledge the work of the Coast Guard. Only 29 other cities across the nation are considered Coast Guard cities. Mayor Stimson said hundreds of Coast Guardsmen call Mobile home, and he hopes they feel supported by local leaders. Yeah, they're always a big part of, celebrations like Mardi Gras celebrations as well. And, so thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Coast Guard. Actually, you know what? Coming up this weekend, tomorrow, on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, the Coast Guardsman I know best, I think that's the one I know best. He's director of Alabama Marine Resources now. Scott Bannon will join us on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors tomorrow morning with Mike Ward and myself. That's from 7 to 8. All right, so to the coal ash story, this is a story we've talked about many, many times on this show. Something moved yesterday that was significant, probably the biggest part of this story in over a year. This from landyatmobile.com, from Kyle Hamrick, said the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency started the clock on ending plans to bury 21 million tons of coal ash at Barry Steam Plant in Mobile County and other Alabama power facilities around the state because the Alabama Department of Environmental Management's plan is, quote, and this is what they said from the EPA, significantly less protective of people and waterways than the federal regulations require, end quote. Kyle goes on to write here, the development paves the way for the EPA to deny Alabama Power Company's plan to bury 21 million tons of coal ash in unlined ponds at Barry Steam Plant. It's just off the Mobile River in North Mobile County. The river runs through downtown. Well, we know that. Come on, Kyle. The EPA issued a proposed denial of ADEM's statewide coal ash plan yesterday, August 3rd, and is expected to reach a final decision after a 60-day public comment period ends in October. Goes on to say here, this is the EPA's, what the EPA put out yesterday. Said, in its first proposed denial of state coal ash permit program, EPA finds that Alabama permit program is significantly less protective of people and waterways than the federal regulations require. Under the federal regulations, surface impoundments, okay, so that's what those those retention ponds are there at Barry, right, along the Mobile River. It says that surface impoundments cannot be closed if, once closure is complete, the coal ash continues to be saturated by groundwater. Facilities must prevent groundwater from infiltrating and flowing out of the closed unit to prevent additional groundwater contamination. In contrast, Alabama does not require that groundwater infiltration be adequately addressed during the closure of these coal ash units, end quote. So, I mean, so one part I'm reading through there is EPA saying that maybe you could close it in place if those ponds were lined. But, you know, they didn't, back when they started those ponds, that wasn't part of the thing that was being done. So it would be pretty impossible. You'd have to somehow dig up all the coal ash, then put the lining down, then put it right back in. So it sounds like EPA says in place, it's basically there's no, in the EPA's opinion, no way to check off on storing place at the retention ponds. Now, ADEM, and this is something I've argued to the benefit of Alabama Power on this over time, is that Alabama Power was complying with what they were told was the deal. ADEM comes to them and says, okay, this is the deal. We'll sign off on it. Back to Kyle's story, it says, though the EPA and ADEM's statewide remediation plan contains part of federal rules for coal ash, it does not meet the standards for, quote, unlined surface impoundments, groundwater monitoring networks, and corrective action requirements, end quote. It says ADEM did not change its plan after the EPA identified those issues earlier this year. So ADEM had... See, the goalpost moved, right? So I guess at some point, the deal would have been okay that ADEM put out. EPA comes out and puts new language in there. Now that deal that they had struck with Alabama Power was in violation. Remember this, of course, we talked about the Public Service Commission President Twinkle Cavanaugh earlier in the year and back in April when she said keeping coal ash at Barry Steam Plant instead of transporting it to an offsite storage facility made sense. What did not make sense, Kavanaugh said, was the negative reaction by the environmentalists to the plan. And remember, that's when, well, here's a quote. Kavanaugh said, I have learned you cannot make environmentalists, They are very woke, they are very liberal, and they do not think like us, and you cannot make them happy. We want a clean environment, but they've gone so far overboard. Remember, that's when I took exception being called a liberal, because I at least questioned the idea of having that coal ash where it could, you have two different parts here. You could have a catastrophic failure of the levee system around the retention ponds at Barry. Spent a lot of time around those levees. I don't see them as being in danger of failing. Who knows what the future holds, but they are solid structures. So, but that's the catastrophic side. That's the acute side. The chronic side that's been discussed is this leaching of the water through the bottom of those ponds and getting in the aquifer. That's not good. At the same time, because I'd probably do a little more research than most on this, I sort of talk to people that say it doesn't, the aquifer there that people are drawing water off of is much deeper than the level that this coal ash would hit and become part of the water table. In other words, they're drawing from deeper down, so this wouldn't be the same water. Just to muddy the waters on this, right? But yeah, so you have 60 days here as they said for a public comment period before EPA comes back in, but it looks like there's nothing in this language from EPA putting out yesterday that could make them say, oh, okay, the ADEM's, you know, remediation plan is okay at Barry and other Alabama power facilities around the state. So it, just by guessing how this is going to go down, it's going to be a scenario where they're going to have to dig it up and move it to an upland site somewhere away from the river. Of course, in doing that, it's a pretty darn big project. I think we talked about it before. It could be in the years of trucking that coal ash. And so, you know, time starts ticking on that as well. And get your comments on this. Also, we'll be checking in with John Sharp from AL.com in just a minute or two. And like I said, hour number two, speaking of environmental programs, Eagle Scout project that has gotten the attention of the University of South Alabama. The Eagle Reef Project's designer and implementer, John Schell, will join us in hour number two, plus constitutional quiz and all that good stuff on the way. All right, coming right back. News is next.
USA News Update. Former President Trump pleading not guilty to trying to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Trump appearing in a Washington, D.C. federal courtroom yesterday following his indictment this week. The man convicted of killing 11 people at a Pittsburgh synagogue has been sentenced to death. A judge handing down that sentence yesterday. Job numbers from July coming out this morning, and analysts expect them to show 200,000 non-farm positions being added. That would be the smallest gain since December of 2020. A number of Tesla owners suing the automaker for fraud after a Reuters investigation discovered the company has been inflating the range estimates of its electric vehicles. The investigation found that the order to use algorithms to give better estimates came directly from CEO Elon Musk. Corey Myers, USA News.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go. Shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about five times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Do you know what brand sells the most work shoes in America? Skechers. Why? Skechers has the best-looking safety-toe and slip-resistant shoes around. They've got superior quality and simply incredible prices. But many people get them just for the style. So you can enjoy tough, steel-toed protection and slip-resistant soles anywhere, even if you don't need them for work. And since they're Skechers, you know they're going to be comfortable with Skechers' exclusive air-cooled memory foam. Find your new pair of Skechers safety-toe and slip-resistant work shoes at a Skechers store, at Skechers.com, or wherever work shoes are sold.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
There's a slight chance of a shower or thunderstorm this afternoon. Look for temperatures in the upper 90s. Tonight, a slight chance of an evening shower or thunderstorm. Lows in the upper 70s. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with scattered afternoon showers and thunderstorms and highs in the upper 90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
Retirement. It could be the best years of your life. You'll finally get to do what you want to do. Travel, golf, spend time with the grandkids, or just relax at home. But you have to plan for it. Start by tuning in to Andrew McNair of Swan Capital every Sunday at 1 for What Your Money Would Say. Make retirement the best time of your life. Tune in every Sunday at 1 for What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair.
Swan Capital is registered to conduct advisory business in Alabama and Florida and in other jurisdictions as permitted by law. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Do you like following your favorite high school sports teams? Do you want to know more about the actions of state, county, and city leaders? Do you want a newspaper that speaks to you and your interests? If you answered yes, you should be reading The Call News. Since first published in 1897, The Call News has reported on the issues that matter to the people of South Alabama and continues to be ranked as one of Alabama's best weekly newspapers. Purchase The Call News at many grocery and convenience stores in South Alabama, including Walmart, Rouse's, and Circle K's. And if your favorite store doesn't have it, let us know and we'll make it available. If you want The Call News delivered to your home, we can do that too, for less than a dollar per week. Call us today, 251-866-5998. That's 251-866-5998. Or visit us online, thecallnews.com, and get connected to The Call News.
The Jeff Poor Show.
Joining us now, the majority leader in the State House of Representatives, Nathaniel Ledbetter, joins us.
I like that phone coming in.
State Representative Chip Brown joins us.
Thank you. It's great to be with you. I'm excited about your new show down here in Mobile.
State Representative Matt Simpson joins us in the studio. Alabama Secretary of State John Merrill joins us on the line. State Senator David Sessions joins us on the line.
Sharing the best contact list in the business with you, The Jeff Poor Show. Weekdays at 9 on FM Talk 106.5. This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5. And hey, I'm Sean. Glad you're here. 343-0106. 343-0106. Phone number, also the same digits for the Ascension Technologies text line, 343-0106. Before we go, some texts coming in here. update. And you can see more of this if you'll go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/FMTalk1065, where Leanna has the post the police bought her, along with all the other stuff that comes out every day on our social media feeds. And this is good news. Top one up here. Okay. Mobile Police Department has arrested Nilsen Kane, 33, in connection with the assault that occurred on Tuesday, July 25th, at the Murphy gas station at 1970 University Boulevard. Incident involved the assault of an 81-year-old man, who, by the way, is John Ed Thompson, who was pumping gas with his wife. Kane physically attacked the elderly victim after the couple refused to give him money. Kane has been charged with elder abuse and neglect, and is now, the neglect thing, I don't know. How about just elder abuse? How about just assault? And is now in custody at Metro Jail. Neglect. So this is the person, the suspect in the case of John Ed Thompson, one retired meteorologist extraordinaire who got jumped. If you didn't hear that story about 2 weeks ago, pumping gas, he gets jumped and beaten. 81-year-old John Ed. Just went to place boot in backside. I don't know if that's, can't do that, but would like to. But they made arrest, so good for MPD in that case. All right, to the text line here. So, yeah, Chris in Orange Beach sends a picture talking about this Coast Guard day in this Coast Guard town, Coast Guard city of Mobile, that worked very closely with them during the oil spill. Yeah, they were did a lot during the oil spill and continue. Watch them fly their helicopters with great routine near the house. All right, Sly, thank you. Sly has some stats here on moving the coal ash. She's moving the coal ash from the retention ponds at Berry Steam Plant. I mean, the way I read what EPA said yesterday, that's the only way. That's the only way to fit in with what their definition of the new guidelines are. And Sly said that will be between 850,000 to 900,000 triaxle loads out. Of course, I don't know that I'm against moving it out, but I could make, if I'm going to play devil's advocate, Sly, I could take the information you just gave me here and say how much diesel is that going to take? And so, in extraction of the diesel and then burning the diesel, which one's the better environmental move? Now, I still have my opinion because I'm more of a homer to keep stuff out of our water, but you could turn around and make that argument, couldn't you? Say, well, if you're trying to protect the environment and you're going to have this, as Sly says, 850,000 to 900,000 triaxle dump truck loads out. I mean, how much diesel would be burned to say, let's take it? I don't know where the fill site. I remember they talked about it. What could be one of the sites projected for it? But let's say it's. I don't know. Let's say it's 20 miles away. When you come across 43 and 20 miles away there from Barrie to go, how many gallons of diesel were burned to do that? Jerry in Fort Morgan says, I am not pro-Southern Company by any means, but I don't think it's a good idea for the federal swamp-dwelling bottom feeders in D.C. to tell any state how to conduct business. Dirt Digger said, what about the coal ash they brought from Mobile? They brought to Mobile from Puerto Rico. And the stuff they're covering up on the pile of toxic stuff at the old Kerr McGee site in Theodore. Right, unnamed texter here. Can coal ash be used in the making of concrete? It seems like this is an option that could help the cost of the new bridge over Mobile Bay and any other construction in the Mobile Bay area for quite some time. So yes, and who knows, right? So we've talked about this in the past, that you can definitely component to make the concrete, the coal ash. And I said it this morning when I was sitting in with Dan on the morning show. I said it could be, if you're looking at a public relations way to do this, right? So there's the actual making of concrete and then how people feel about projects out there. If you could get that coal ash to be put in the concrete that is made to build this projected, who knows, I-10 Mobile River Bridge project, from a PR aspect, it would be good. But how if they're going to do it, don't know. Let's see. Some questions already coming in for John Schell. That's good. We'll do those next hour. Monty says, I don't know anyone employed by Alabama Power that lives remotely close to the poverty line. The cost of the coal ash fiasco will just be passed on to us and add another level to the screwing we get from them anyway. The by the way, I pointed out, are just to run our transmitter. That bill went up year to year, about $1,800 a month, Monty. It's good times. So they did put money in conversations I've had with Rob Holbert from Lanyap. And we could probably go back and look through the stories to find the exact number. But Rob had said in the past that, let me see, it was maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, we had that increase in your bill. I think that was 3 years ago increase. And that increase from Alabama Power was to pay for this. So yeah, I don't know if they're going to have to do more paying for it or not. Sean in Baldwin County said, I normally don't get involved. I don't want the federal government involved in the state and local concerns, but I believe it's warranted here. The PSC is an APCO puppet. So in other words, Public Service Commission he's talking about is an Alabama Power Company puppet. And ADEM is also. This could avert an environmental disaster of epic proportions. You know, Sean, and I mentioned this morning, we've talked about it before as well. Let's look at this from a fiscal side. Now, you know, I'm I got the strong environmental lean to me. I do. But let's look at it just in dollars. And you look at some of the, where they've had levee failures and coal ash issues to our north. And the mitigation and cleanup of those projects has been extremely expensive. So you could make a argument on the fiscal side that said, well, we don't know if it'll happen for sure, but if it does, the payout is going to be so huge to do the cleanup, then your money ahead to go ahead and move it. I mean, it's just one of the old just other arguments in this. Sly, thank you. Sly is fast with the calculations. He said 5 miles to the gallon. So 5 miles to the gallon. So let's say it's 5 miles. And let's say it's 20, right? So 100. 5 miles to the gallon. So yeah. So I got to go at the break and figure out how many, compute that over 900,000 triaxial loads out. Grant says attack the old man. Horrible. Yeah, absolutely horrible. And listen, it happens to other 81-year-old people, too. Dirt bags go after them, too. This just happens to be one I've known a long time. I think a lot of us do, John Ed Thompson. So they have made an arrest in that case. All right, Backstrap Stacker, I wonder if we're still going to get that rebate from Alabama Power that they said they were going to apply in August. Yeah, what was it $60 a year worth on the normal bill or something like that? Backstrap, I forgot the detail on that. This texter says, statistically, how many people will be killed and injured by that many dump trucks hauling coal ash? Oh, that's from Tanglemaster. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But Sly is like a human computer out there with the stats. But you would have to say, I don't know, per hour on the road for dump truck, how many injured? I don't know. So Chris says, what happens if we get a big hurricane? And that's been one of the fears, right? I said there's two issues going on at the coal ash ponds. There's I'll call it the acute issue, and there's the chronic. The chronic issue is that leaching into the groundwater. And I think if you look at the EPA's, what they sent out yesterday, there's no way to have that coal ash stay in place and not violate this ground leaching, right? And they're not going to dig it up and line the pond and put it back in. But the other part that Chris is talking about is an acute situation. Now, is that a washing? You know, they talk about the levee failure. And more often I hear people say, well, what if a hurricane, we get storm surge that far up the river and it goes and tops those levees? By the time you get that far up the Mobile River, not that there's not storm surge, goes up that far, absolutely does. But the bigger concerns have been super high rivers, right? The Alabama and Tom Bigby at big, big flood levels. You know, we've had some years, we've set some records in the last, I think it's been about 2 years ago, and then about 3 or 4 years ago, the Berry steam plant reading on the Mobile River, a lot of us look at in the Delta, was very, very high. I mean, way high. And even at that point, I remember, did I go or one of my buddies sent me a picture? There was still plenty of levee to work with. So it wouldn't have been breached going that way. But then there is another story is, what if there's something in the build of that levee that erodes over time and you have a failure? I don't know. I'm sure that they have done the inspection of that levee to make sure it's okay, but you never know. There's places where they've had failures of these retention ponds and they thought everything was good. Gene says, by the way, we are adding at least 1 million tons a year to the pile. Yeah, so you've got what's there, and then of course you'll have the current production. Jeff in Spanish Ford, how many ponds? What if they emptied one? Okay, now I'm thinking. I see a thinker here. I like this. I don't know. There'll be somebody, I'm sure, some engineer somewhere that will tell us it can't be done that way. But yeah, so Jeff said, how many ponds? If they emptied one and then lined it and then moved the other pond into that one, right? So you could, or you could even go smaller, I guess, and go in those ponds and subdivide those ponds. And they're not like perfect rectangles or anything. But maybe if you go in and make it into quadrants or something, I don't know, and then dig it all out there, pile it up next to you, then line that, and then come back in and put that stuff back in place. Don't know, and I don't know if that, you know, cost-wise is going to be more expensive or cheaper. But I mean, it's a great thought. It's a great thought. One I have not thought of. So we'll put that in the mix as well. Could you live up to what the EPA says has to happen without taking it off site? You just move a pile, you know, pile here, you build some kind of levee system through them, or like Jeff said, if you could use, one pond and put the coal ash in that pond while you then go line the other pond. Listen, there'll be somebody out there, I'm sure, who's in this world who can tell me if that could be done or not. But you'd have to get what kind of equipment? Would you have to get in there to build the levees inside the system or something like that? So you've, I don't know, it is definitely a new, you know what, it's a new thought, and I think that's a good thing. So we'll find somebody out there that knows this stuff and will tell me, like, there's no chance in hell of that happening, or, hey, that may work. So we'll keep an eye on that. All right, to the text line, and Don says, well, I'll tell you what, it'll be a cliffhanger, because I'll let you know what Don says when we return from the news right here on Midday Mobile.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Just about an hour away from the constitutional quiz brought to you by L&S Heating and Air. Talk to you more about that next hour, but your chance to flex constitutional knowledge, win fabulous prizes, and possibly cash dollars. You may want to go ahead and put this in the speed dial, so next hour when I call for you to get in line to play the game, you'll have it. It's 343-0106, 343-0106 for the telephone call like you would use for the constitutional quiz or any other time. And then the Ascension Technologies text line, same number, is 343-0106. Oh, by the way, too, this is maybe I'll put a picture up. My delivery got in here. I've been waiting for this one because I think we talked about it before. I love maps. I'm a map fan. Like, maps are like artwork to me. They are artwork to me. They're not like it. They are. And I just got in and have some old Alabama maps, you know, the state over time. I just got in the 1820 map of the state of Alabama with, like, I think the state had like 7 counties in it. Pretty cool, and how the lines ran on those. I'm redistricting from back in 1820. All right, Don from the text line. You know, Sean, what about the damage to the infrastructure on the asphalt that those roots would, in those roots to the new dump site? Those triaxles are heavy. Right, and this doesn't actually mean that I'm not for emptying the coal ash ponds, but I do think I'm could ask all the questions, right? So Dirt Digger says, the Southern Company owns the land on the other side of 43 to the west of Barry. Just built a bridge and railroad it to the other side. Problem's gone. Brilliant. See, I hope that'd be great. Could they do that? I mean, for the amount of, I mean, what Sly said, 850,000 to 900,000 triaxle dump truck loads to empty that out. I wonder if for that money you could really do something like that, Dirt Digger, build a raised railroad track to have just just the track goes from a loading site there at the pond and then across the road to a lined upland site. I don't know. Great ideas. Somebody said, I thought someone claimed those ponds were lined. I don't know that I ever heard that. I don't think I ever heard that. All right. I think this is probably a holdover from Jeff's show, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's for me. Screechy Karen, stop lying. Liberals believe in freedom and free choice. Leave us alone, Republicans. Leave us alone, Republican, and stop trying to control us. Okay. I'll put that on my list of things to do or not do. Sam said, didn't they tax us a while back to take care and remove the ash and not cover it? What was the wording of the increase on every user that money should have been making money in interest? And Sam, they did have the money to, they said, to, I think the language, I don't have it in front of me, but let's say it was like to mitigate or deal with the coal ash. And I don't think it said, because there was a big discussion a few years ago. I had people from all sides of this coming in and talking about, cap in place versus remove to upland site. But I don't know that in that increase in prices in the service to get money for this project, if they said which way they'd do it. I know that there was capping in place was most popular, obviously, with Alabama Power. And then, once again, if ADEM came in and said, okay, that deal's fine, y'all can do that. And that was a deal that they had struck with ADEM. Here comes EPA yesterday. And yes, by default, does it affect Alabama Power? Sure it does. But ADEM is the focus of it. EPA says ADEM didn't do this or, follow the new guidelines when they made this deal. So ADEM has to amend that, which would then put the deal, that they struck with Alabama Power out. All right. Thomas says from Thomas in Irvington, he said there's only one unit at Barry that burns coal. All the rest are now gas burners. Yeah, I remember that. When did they start that, Thomas? A decade ago, shifting over? I think Obama was in the presidency. At that point, started shifting over to burning more natural gas than coal at Barry. I think there's something strange. I'm getting some texts. I think we're for Jeff, so let me work through this. Okay, texture here about the news update from WKRG said, if vapes are confiscated by teachers and then tested for illicit substances, what does that do to the chain of custody should any of these end up in court? What that texter is talking about is the news story here, and see if I can, I know it plays in our WKRG news update here, but I had the story somewhere. It's Baldwin County Schools, and they will take it, the number, how many did they collect last year? Quite a bit in the vapes out there. And I guess then they're going to take the vape and test it for illicit. Spanish Fort Police. There it is. Spanish Fort Police from KRG. Baldwin County Public Schools start class on August 9th, and Spanish Fort Police Department has made the decision to test each and every vape that administrators find for illegal drugs. District-wide, Baldwin County Public Schools confiscated an estimated 280 vapes last school year. That's about 8 each week of the school year. Spanish Fort Police Chief John Barber said, it's time to put a stop to this. Quote from him, every vape we come across, regardless of circumstances, that we are going to test it, not just for THC, but for fentanyl, cocaine, and there are a multitude of things that could possibly be in the vape, end quote. So I guess to that texture, maybe the teachers don't hold it. They just hold the child till the Spanish Fort police officer gets there and gets it. And maybe that keeps the chain of custody. Okay, we'll look into this. I'm sure we'll hear more about this going forward. Sean, the above ground pipeline, 5 to 8 miles to the west. Okay, talking about how to move the coal ash. Above ground pipeline, 5 to 8 miles west. New safer ponds lined could be the cheapest option. Private landowners might go along if pipeline was temporary. Yeah, because they would have to get, an easement, but would they have the ability to get the easement? Adele says, Southern Company's publicly traded company. Why would it cost the customers? Because it's a utility. You could always shop in the marketplace, right, Adele, and go get power from the other company that serves your air. You can't. Okay. Just checking on that. All right. Hour number 2 of Midday Mobile on the way. Like I mentioned, the Eagle Reef Project with Eagle Scout John Shell, Troop 147, go, is going to join us in hour number 2, plus constitutional quiz and a whole lot more. Stay right there.
Attention Medicare beneficiaries. Are you getting all the benefits you need? If you have Medicare, you may now be able to get new benefits. Benefits may include eyeglasses.